जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्यशील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमोशुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय बुधलेश्वरी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी दिनामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल् भागवदाख्योयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवं भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदा य आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदं तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणं करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनं नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भता मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश വ്യാസം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ഇൻ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ദി കൃഷ്ണസ് പ്ലാൻസ് ടു ഡിസ്ട്രോയ് ദി യാദവ റേസ്. കൃഷ്ണസ് പ്ലാൻസ് ടു ഡിസ്ട്രോയ് ദി യാദവ റേസ്. വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ റിയലൈസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ആക്ച്വലി തോട്ട് വെരി മച്ച് ഇൻ അഡ്വാൻസ് അബൌട്ട് ദിസ് ബിക്കോസ് വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ കെയിം ഹിയർ ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഇൻ ദി and the pastimes he performed in the human form, when he performed those pastimes, there was a specific intention to relieve Mother Earth from her burden, isn't it? She has so much burden. She prayed to Lord Brahma. Brahma and Lord Shiva together went to Lord Vishnu, and then they all prayed together to Krishna to come. That is how Krishna has appeared. If you remember the appearance of Krishna in the third, fourth chapters of the 10th canto. So Krishna appeared on request from Bhumi Devi. So now Bhumi Devi's burden is almost over. In the sense, Jarasandha, Kamsa, Duryodhana and all the other demonic personalities, they have cooperated with Krishna in relieving the burden of the earth. That's how it is spoken. They say they have cooperated with Krishna to relieve the burden on the earth. So because of all their cooperation, Krishna was able to relieve the burden of the earth. And after that was, the burden was over, Krishna thought about the future, what is going to happen in this world. Krishna realized that if things are let as it is, he could see in advance that the Yadava race is going to become a problem for this world. This was foreseen by Krishna, and naturally Krishna decided to take action straight away. That is how this developed into. So we saw in the last chapter, the first chapter of the 11th canto, Rajaskandam, that the Krishna's preparation for extinguishing this rays from the earth, that is how the plans happened. In addition to this, in Ekadasham also you will see one of the most important topic that is discussed later on is these three states of our existence. What are the three states? Jagral, Swapnam and Sushupti. That means our waking state, dream state and the deep sleep. These three states are discussed in the Bhagavadam at length for many chapters. This covered from various angles, Krishna talks about it. It is important to know that because many things what is spoken to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita are much more on an advanced stage in the Srimad Bhagavadam. To Arjuna, when Krishna spoke about in Bhagavad Gita, what you will find there, one important thing he mentioned there, what was that? Yamyam vabis maran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam evaidi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. Whatever form, whatever thoughts you die, with whatever thoughts, yamyam, whatever form you think in your mind, and then you give up your body in this world at the time of death, tejatyande kalevaram tam tam evaidi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. Accordingly, you will accept your next body or the next form in this world. Krishna has given us this understanding in Bhagavad Gita. Also, there is another verse. Andhakale cha mameva smaran tyaktva kalevaram yal prayasa samadbhavam yadi nastyatra samshayaha. Similarly, at the time of death, if one remembers about Krishna and gives up his body, he will come to me, will come back to Krishna. So these two verses in the Bhagavad Gita are are very straightforward verses. But often people think about these verses, they will have some doubts about it. Naturally, we do not know what will be going through our mind at the time of death. We have no idea what will happen at the time of death. So because it is like that, and also because we do not know what will be our condition at the time of death, whether we are going to be conscious or not. Sometimes it is possible that you could be in a coma for days together before you leave this body. And also there is a possibility that due to external sources, due to just like in the general hospital or somewhere, if you are sent there by various reasons, whatever it may be, because so-called friends and relatives will help us to get there at the end anyway. So once we get there, what is going to happen at that time is unknown to us. They will put in what is called as the sometimes intensive care unit and tell the relatives and friends, nobody is allowed in, you can all stay outside. And they will probably put us into a situation where there is no possibility of proper ability to think or do what we want to do or what we have thought of doing, but at that moment it may not happen. It may not happen. This is a reality, isn't it? From where we know, our own experience in this world tells us, when death comes, where we will die is unknown to us. And when we will die is unknown to us. How we are going to die is also unknown to us. All these things are unknown factors. We may have the, we may make the best of the preparations, but in spite of all that, things can go wrong, isn't it? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, at the time of death, whatever thoughts are coming to us, that will decide the future body, what we are going to receive. It is in this connection, Ekadasi Skandam is a lot more open and forthwith about this, lot more than what Krishna told Arjuna. Krishna has spoken to Uddhava about this. Krishna says to Uddhava that at the time of death, even if a situation happens that if one does not remember Krishna, even if one does not remember Krishna due to whatever reasons it may be, still, if one cultivates Krishna consciousness in this life, that will have a tremendous impact on his next life. Tremendous impact on the next life. And the way it is explained in the Bhagavatam is, just like a person who has studied everything very well, a lot of things he has studied well, he has a deeper understanding of things. And when he goes to sleep, goes into dream state or to the deep sleep state, at these two points in time, he doesn't know anything, what he has studied or what he has understood, or all his realizations. Nothing is working at that time, isn't it? So from Jagrat state, when you go to Swapnam or Sushupti, you have no, even if you are learned many things, you have learned many things and you are a scholar or whatever it may be, still all that scholarship and all the knowledge is not present there when you go into dream or deep sleep, isn't it? But as soon as you come back to Jagrat state again, as soon as you come back to Jagrat or wakened state again, all these knowledge and all the realizations what you have developed, they all come back to you again, isn't it? They all come back because that is how normally it is. Whatever we have done, it all comes back to us in the, as soon as we come back to the wakened state. Krishna says, similarly, even at the time of death, if our memory or our physical condition is not favorable for remembering Krishna, but if the samskar what we have created in life, whatever samskar we have created in this life, throughout our activities in this world, if they have helped us to develop Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness will stay with us even after we leave this body. Just like in the case of this scholar. As he comes back, because death is not something very much different than sleep. Except that in sleep, what normally happens is, in whichever body you have gone to sleep, you come back to that body again after the sleep. Only difference is in the death, what's happening is, you are leaving one body and you are taking another body. But otherwise, all the other ingredients in death is remaining the same. For example, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, false ego, all those things are the same. The soul is remaining the same. It is only the gross body that you are changing. the gross body that we are changing. So Krishna's point is that if by any reason at the time of death, sometimes people think that only at the time of death I have to think about Krishna and I'll just make it like this to the spiritual world. It's not that how it is planned. It is planned like this. Krishna explains here that the whatever you have developed the samskaram inside, Krishna consciousness inside, in other words, that Krishna consciousness is the factor which will continue to influence your life after this death, after in your next body. Even if at the time of death, by whatever reason it may be, we could not remember Krishna, or whatever reason we could not chant the holy name of Krishna, even at that time, if we have done, executed Krishna consciousness throughout life, it is not going to be a loss at all. This is the point Krishna is making. That there are so many things in the Bhagavadam. This Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti states, three states are discussed at length, particularly in the Ekadasha Skandam. That is why, because here you see, Krishna is preparing us how to leave this body in this world, how to leave this body and go back to Krishna. That is why, Mukti Hitanyadharubam, Swarubena Vyavastiti, how to come back to Swarubam. That is the topic that is discussed in the Bhagavadam. Srimad Bhagavadam is talking about this subject in the Ekadasha Skandam. Mukti Hitanyadharubam, Swarubena Vyavastiti. So, if one wants to go back to his own Swarubam or his own form, he has to know how this transformation takes place within himself. He should not think that whole life I could do something different. Only at the time of death, somehow or the other, I will chant Hare Krishna and go back home back to Krishna. That may not happen. Because Krishna's instruction is like this, that what we practice today in our daily life, till we leave this body, even if we don't make it at the time of death, these things what we have executed today will remain as vasanas inside, or that will be our samskaram for the future. So even after leaving this body, if we have to accept another body, these vasanas, what has developed in us, will go along with us and start from there in the next body as well. So this is an important point. Krishna says, Jagral Swapna Sushuptincha Prabhurto Buddhi Vrittaya Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshitvena Vinishchidaha. Krishna says, Jagral Swapnam Sushupti Pravurto Buddhi Vrtaya. Actually, these three states of existence also, according to Krishna, it is three modes of nature that is making us to do it. In these three states, on which we also have no control, isn't it? Do we have any control when we can sleep? Okay, we go to bed at 8:30, 9 or 10 o'clock, whatever it is. But after some time, we are forced to sleep, whether we like it or not, isn't it? So in other words, our control on these three things, Jagrat state, Swapnam state and Sushupti states, is very limited. Once we are pushed into sleep, then automatically dream comes on which we have no control. If I don't want to dream, if I think so, then it is then that all the dreams come together. And similarly, from dream state to deep sleep also, if we don't want to go, it is we are helpless about that. It can happen. We are forced into it. So the soul, Krishna is saying here, Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshitvena Vinishchidaha. Jiva or the living entity has not got much choice in all these things. That's Krishna's point. He hasn't got much choice in these things. He, as a Sakshi or a witness to all these things, he just carries on in floating between these three states, Jagrel, Swapnam and Sushupti. Go upwards and backwards and forwards. He comes and back. And that is what every day what happens to us, isn't it? What happens to us is this. So, if this is understood, then you can see that how important it is to practice Krishna consciousness today and not to keep it for the last minute. Most of our tendency is that after retirement, if we get retired one day, and after retirement, after everything is sorted out in the family, and when we have little relaxed, then we will start Krishna consciousness. But that is not how it will happen. It will not happen like this. Krishna is saying here, the whole life is only for one purpose, to prepare for the death. Actually, death is started from the day we were born. From then on, it's a continuous process. That's why this word, Martya, is given to us. Because we are constantly dying from the day we were born. Even if you look at the modern material science, what do they say? They also say the same thing. That as soon as you are born, new cells are always building up. new cells are building up in the body. They don't talk about the soul, but they say a lot of cells are building up. And at some point, number of cells, new cells are born and a lot of cells are dying. As long as the new cells which are born is increasing and the number of cells which are dying is decreased, we are growing up. But after some time, the new cells that's born reduces and the death of cells increases. So if that process continues, after some time, new cells are not born anymore and the old cells, one after the other, give away. This is the modern scientist's philosophy anyway on these things. But what we have to remember is this, that the material body at one point or the other is going to perish in this world. It is going to die. And that process is gradual. It gradual from beginning to end. And it starts dying and eventually decay and death. That's what is going to happen. So Krishna says that for this reason, it is important to practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. Otherwise, people may misunderstand that what is the necessity. I am young now, I can earn money, I have got so many other commitments, all kinds of things which will come up to our mind. But in order to see through these things, Krishna explains this in detail in the Agadisham. So here Krishna says, Jagral Sapna Sushuptincha Pravurto Buddhivrataya Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Satchityena Vinishchida. That means Sakshitvena Vinishchida. The soul is only a witness to all the our activities. It's only a witness to all our activities. In addition to that, Krishna also says so many other things in the Bhagavatam. Actually, these things are necessary to be understood, because when we do not know our own actual situation, what we are and what is going on with us, whom we identify ourselves with the body particularly, when we realize Krishna's instructions and we accept the Krishna's instructions, then we also become conscious of the fact that this is what Krishna expects from us to do. Otherwise it won't work with us, it won't happen to us. So in the 11th canto, what Krishna was saying was that for three different reasons Krishna decided that the Yadava race must go. Yadava race must go. First thing, they had come here with Krishna to assist in the pastimes. So Krishna thought it is only proper to send them back to their respective places. Number one. Number two, Krishna had in his mind this great a message to be delivered to Uddhava later on. And the message in the Ekadasha Skandam, which starts from chapter 7 to chapter 29. Chapter 7 to chapter 29. This is the instructions to Uddhava from Krishna. Over 1036 verses overall. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke 700 verses to Arjuna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke 1036 verses to Uddhava. So, if you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, there was a chapter known as Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita means the prayers by the Vedas personified. Some of the Bhagavata scholars are of the opinion that this Ekadasha Skandam, where Krishna has instructed Uddhava, this transcendental knowledge, is nothing but an expansion of Shruti Gita. Or in other words, if you have understood Ekadasha Skandam very well, then you can come and read Shruti Gita or the prayers of the personified Vedas and you will understand it better. In Bhagavatam, if you look in the 11th canto, there are totally 31 chapters in the 31 chapters in the Ekadasha Skandam. Out of this, the first chapter goes to the Krishna's plans for the Yadavas to leave this world. Accordingly, the mausoleum, the pre-planned destruction of the Yadava family members and all that. And later on, at the end, in two chapters, Krishna is talking about Krishna is talking also about the one chapter refers to Lord Balaram's appearance, disappearance from this world. Another chapter, Krishna's disappearance from this world. So, if you take away all the other these chapters, there are totally 28 chapters in the Ekadasha Skandam. And if you look in Shruti Gita also, Vedas personified their prayers, you will find there are 28 verses in the Shruti Gita. So these 28 chapters in Ekadasham, Instructions to Uddhava, is also considered to be a detailed review of these prayers by personified Vedas, which are 28 verses in Shruti Gita, in personified prayers in the 10th canto. So there is a relationship between Shruti Gita and Uddhava, Instructions to Uddhava, says the scholars of Bhagavatam. Have this opinion also. Now, after Krishna has spoken Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava, Krishna had the sole purpose that Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandushu Maya Veshyamana Samyak Samadrak Vijarasvagam. That is the whole essence of Ekadasha Skandam in one verse. Whole instructions to Uddhava in one verse is this verse. Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandushu Maya Veshyamana Samyak Samadrak Vijarasvagam. Krishna says to Uddhava that finish up this attachment to this world. So, this verse begins with virtually sannyasa ashram, or in other words, complete giving up the connections with this world. So, knowing very well that Krishna had to instruct this to Uddhava, Krishna already thought about this, that if Uddhava has to accept this and follow it through, Uddhava will see how Krishna has acted first of all. So in order to make Uddhava convinced about this, Krishna decided to finish up the connection with the family. Otherwise, Krishna's family and householder life is well known. In Dwaraka, Krishna was present there with 16,108 wives, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and huge family it was. And Krishna has decided to break that connection with that family at that point. For this reason only, that Krishna had this in his mind to instruct Uddhava later on about this one particular thing of giving up attachment. So if the personality who instructs Vairagyam to Uddhava, if he himself does not have the Vairagyam in him, how could Uddhava accept that? This was in Krishna's mind. So knowing very well, Krishna as a proper Jagadguru acted in that way, that he gave up that connection or attachment to the family at that point. To the Krishna's family at that point. That is another reason why Krishna has decided to wipe out the Yadava race from this earth. So, we have seen there before that those personalities who had come to assist Krishna in these aspects, they were all given one opportunity to the other by Krishna's arrangement. Opportunity to the other. We have seen how the demons were killed, Pudana, Trayavata, and so on and so forth. They were sent back. Pandavas were also given an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Similarly, Krishna has arranged for the gopis to go in their own way to the spiritual world. So Krishna's arrangement is always like that. That things are thought much in advance and plans are made very much in advance. And that is what automatically happens later on. So the question will come now that even if those who do not, as Prahlad Maharaj said, that those who worship Krishna, those who serve Mukunda, they will definitely be liberated. But those who do not worship Krishna can be liberated sometimes. That is what those pastimes have shown to us in that condition. That what happened was that even if one does not serve Krishna, if Krishna's mercy comes, he can still go back to the spiritual world. So that is the beauty of Krishna's appearance. To us, ordinary people in this world, another important message. What was that? That when we see that these things are happening to even to Krishna's family, if it can happen, what is going to happen to our so-called family life? Even that will also finish one day. That is the direct message to us. So the importance of all these things is that somehow or the other, some detachment should come to our mind. Because that detachment is not happening. At the moment, all our mind is absorbed very much in the beauty of this world, isn't it? So many big plans we have got in our own mind. And that desire to develop economically, economic development and our own sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment means not the gross enjoyment, but in a subtle way, enjoying with the family, with the friends, relatives, society. These are all subtle sense enjoyment. The gross sense enjoyment is eating, sleeping, sex life, these things. But whatever it is, because as long as one's mind is absorbed in these kind of sense enjoyment, the principles of advanced principles of Krishna consciousness will not have any impact on that person. Will not have any impact on that person. And therefore, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna prepares us to accept something which is much higher than what we are normally used to in this world. Like, for example, Krishna says here that the that first thing is what is known as this renounced mood must happen to a person. That cannot happen very easily. That is not possible because of the continuous enjoyment of the senses in this world. And that is why, through this example of Yadavas, Krishna has demonstrated to this world to be beware of that. That in no matter how many plans, how much plan we make here in this world, eventually we will lose everything. We will lose everything. So, an intelligent person, Krishna says, should not work for something which is very momentary or which is very transitory in nature. Oh, that is the nature of an intelligent person. That is first thing Krishna wants to point out there. Secondly, Krishna is also saying there that the if you see that the transitory nature of the human body and also our life, if one is intelligent, should think further what should be the life all about, what should one devote one's life to. And that is where Krishna is giving us these final instructions on the in the Ekadasha Skandam. He talks about this liberation process. That is why he said, Mukti hi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavastiti. For example, this is a very important verse. It is in the Bhagavatam itself. Mukti hi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavastiti. Today, we are thinking we are this body. Why we are thinking like this? Because this is all what we know, isn't it? This is all what we know. This body, this mind, this intelligence, this senses, all this identification with this gross thing. Krishna is telling us, this dress you have got because of your karma. Karma is the cause of this body, isn't it? Prarabdham is the cause. Prarabdha karma is the cause of this body. And when prarabdham is finished, this body will go. This body will go. And therefore, Krishna is saying to us that this body is not your real form. This is not our real form. Krishna has pointed out this in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly. But in spite of all that, all what Krishna has said so many times, again and again, it will not get into our head. Isn't it? We know that very well. It is not striking somehow or the other that this is not our form. And as soon as somebody tells us, you are not that, we start thinking that Atman is crazy, not me. This is what we think. This is the difficulty in the Ekadasha Skandam. That everything what is spoken is based on the soul. On the soul. No matter how many times it is repeated and told us that we are not this, we are not this. It has come from karma. It is karma is the cause of all these things. And we are not able to give up still the identity. Maximum this body may survive, say, up to 100 years. Not more than that. By and large, it finishes by then. So, Shastra is telling us that your true identity, you are actually, you don't die. You don't have any, you don't get destroyed. You exist forever. This is the Shastric injunction. On the other hand, we have constantly meditated on this and come to the same conclusion, to the firm conclusion that we will die one day. Isn't it? That we will die one day. So Krishna is saying here that this birth and death, that is only in relationship with the body, not with the soul. Not with the soul. But what has happened is, in the process of identifying with this body, we have cultivated two things, what is called Ahanda and Mamada. Ahanda means I am this, I am that, like this. And next one, Mamada, it is mine, it's mine, it's mine. on these two platforms, we are operating in identification with this body. Me and mine. Isn't it? Me and mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Prahlada Maharaj says there. Oh, no, not Prahlada Maharaj. In Rishabhadev's instructions to his children. He says, Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. So aham and mameti, me and mine, is the two deep-rooted things which has come with this body in us. That, but when these two things goes away, when these two things, me and mine, goes away from us, and when the bodily identification goes away from us, and when our true identity comes to us, which may happen one day, not today, but some other day, whenever it happens, what will happen at that time? At that time we will realize all these things, what I was experiencing till this time, has no real meaning. Isn't it? Because why it is said like that is, who is actually experiencing? That is a question, isn't it? Who is experiencing? Does the soul experience all these things? For example, in our activities in the material world, so many things we experience every day. But actually, soul has nothing to do with that. Because we have identified with the mind and the senses, and sense objects and senses work together, they give an experience to the mind, and foolishly or mistakenly, we have identified with the mind and accepting it as our experience. And so long as we are in that situation, it will continue to be like this. It's not going to go away. Bhagavatam says, Artheshu avidhyamanebi samsidir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yatha. Bhagavatam's beauty is this. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us certain things to think through. And if you think, you will understand how sensible the whole thing is. Today we don't know because we have not studied these things. Therefore we don't fully understand it. Krishna is saying there to Uddhava, Artheshu avidhyamanebi samsridir na nivartate. Na nivartate means you will not be able to free yourself from this misunderstanding. What is that misunderstanding? Misunderstanding is this, that I am this body, I am this mind, it is my senses, it's my intelligence, and I am suffering, I am enjoying all these things. This is all one full package altogether. Beyond this stands the soul as a witness. Tasam vilakshano jiva sakshityena vinishchita. He is only a sakshi. He has nothing to do with any of these things. None of these things has anything to do with the jiva, with the soul. Soul is only a witness. Krishna says to Uddhava, from this situation you cannot escape. Krishna says, why? Because arteshu avidyamanebi samsidir na nivartade dhyayato vishayanasya svapnen artho na puman. Just like when you have experiencing some dream, when you are experiencing some dream, isn't it? When you are experiencing some dream, what happens in the dream? In the dream, say for example, a tiger had come or a snake had come and it has bitten you. Or tiger has bitten you or a snake has bitten you. What will happen at that time? You suffer from that, isn't it? You cry or you are still in the deeps, in the dream state. You are still in the dream state, you are not woken up. But the moment, although you are not, from the Jagrat point of view, you have not been bitten. You have only been bitten from the point of view of, in the dream state, you have been bitten. But the misery attached to that, you will experience in that state. You are frightened, you are crying, either the elephant has come to hit you, or the tiger has come to jump on you, or the snake has bitten you, whatever it is, something like that. Some fear it creates. Who experiences that fear? The mind is experiencing that in the dream state, isn't it? The mind is experiencing that. Gross body is still lying there, not affected by any of these things. But that experience of the mind is enough for you to have all the distress associated with that. All the distress associated with that. But then what happens is, you are not able to do anything about it. As long as that dream is there, you have to suffer that through. You have no freedom. You have to suffer through that dream. But the moment you wake up from that dream, the moment you are brought out of that dream, and as soon as you come to the vacant state, what happens? All that distress is over. Isn't it? All the distress is over. So what actually, who was actually experiencing that distress? Who was actually experiencing the distress? The mind, isn't it? The mind was the cause of that. So due to the mind, we had to go through all this misery in the dream state. Krishna is saying here, Arteshu avidhyamanebi samsidir na nivartade. Krishna says, it is exactly the same in the Jagrat state also. Instead of dream state, you are in another maya here. That is all, in this Jagrat state. And when Jagrat state also, if a similar wake up happens, like when we came back from dream state to Jagrat state, similarly from Jagrat state to realized state, we go back to realized state, we will see that all this misery what we are experiencing in the Jagrat state also were not real. This is the point Krishna is making. Arteshu avidhyamanevi samsarder na nivartade dhyayado vishaya pumsan sapnanathavadhi yadha. Krishna says that today in Jagrat state, what is our situation? Our situation is like this. Just like in the dream state, not much different. We are making many, many plans in this world to be happy here. We think that we have all these responsibilities in this world. We have to raise children, raise a family. So many things we are related with very strongly, isn't it? Our connection with all these things are very, very strong. Just like in the dream state, we also had a strong connection with whatever dream we were going through. Similarly, Krishna is saying in Jagrat state also what's happening is that this connection with the this world, what is existing, is also built up in the same way. It is a similar relationship what we have in the Jagrat state. Jagrat state also is a similar relationship what we have created. And because it is like that, what will happen is, at some point in time, Krishna says, we know very well that all these happiness what we are trying to create is not everlasting, isn't it? It's not everlasting. Today you try to acquire wealth or acquire anything in this world, it will die one day. It will finish and go. It's not permanent, isn't it? It's not a permanent existence. So, strictly speaking, from Shastric point of view, everything what we are doing in this world is nothing but sense gratification. Everything is sense gratification, basically. So, therefore, all the sense objects, all the sense enjoying activities, they are all temporary. They are all temporary. Anything what we acquire wealth, that's temporary. When we acquire when we acquire the relationships with others, that's also temporary. That will also go. In other words, two things are there here. One, something that is permanent, and two, something which is temporary. So this discrimination between permanent and temporary is what makes us to realize the truth behind it, isn't it? What exists really will always exist. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorabhi drishtandam stanayor tattva darshavi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said this in the beginning itself. That what exists really does exist forever. It cannot be destroyed. And what does not exist, even if you create it, it will get destroyed one day. Nothing. See, so in other words, from Krishna's point of view, whatever that is existing is always existing. Which has got a permanent existence will always exist. What is not permanent, what is temporary, will never exist forever. So from that point of view, Krishna is saying here that the that arteshu avidhyamanebi samsadir na nivartade. So long as the mind is absorbed in senses, sense enjoyment, and all that is temporary in this world, then what will happen is, Krishna says, dhyayado vishayanasya. It is just like sense objects. You are constantly meditating all these sense objects. Svapne athavadi puman. That when one comes back from dream state, back to the Jagrat state, to the awakened state, how he wakes up and he realizes, I had nothing to do with it. He realizes at that point from dream state to awakened state, when he comes, he realizes that the snake bite, the tiger's bite or elephant's attack were all false, isn't it? We're all false. We realize that at that point. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that in the Jagrat state also, this is another state of existence like the dream state. This dream, sometimes people say, this is daydream and night dream, isn't it? So the daydream also one day will finish. And when one comes to the realized state, then he will see, that is only when one comes to his own true identity as spirit soul, spiritual identity. When he comes to that, Krishna says automatically, all that what he was experiencing in his Jagrat state, in this world, and identification with all that will also disappear. And that is mukti. That is mukti. So, arteṣa vidyamānevi samsadir na nivartade dhyāyade viṣayānasya svapnānatthāvi puppumān. Krishna says. So, in this way, Ekadasha Skandam discusses three Jagrat, Svapnam and Sushupti in detail. And to prove to us that these three states are also temporary. It has also come from the modes of nature. Three modes of nature. It's like in the most of the Jagrat state, we are in Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And deep Tamogunam is in Sushupti state. In the dream state, we are experiencing again Rajogunam or Tamogunam. So, a little bit of Sattogunam in Jagrat sometimes. That's our actual situation. So, all these things are spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam to tell Uddhava why it is important to know. Because if we know something is temporary, and we will lose our attachment towards that. We will lose our attachment towards that. This is called Shastra's Nirvedam. Nirvedam means that a loosening up of our attachment to this world. And this is necessary before this tattvam is spoken. This truth is spoken to the person. That is why Krishna is preparing us in this first chapter for this process. For this process. That's why Krishna said like this. Then, Krishna also says that in order that people to become to this point, one has to also realize that every karma is ultimately going to bring distress only in this world. In this world, every karma will ultimately bring distress. Only when one realizes that, he can see that it is no point in continuing to act in this world to increase our attachment to the sense objects. So, this is why Ekadasha Skandam is called Nivrti Lila. Nivrti Lila means, up to this point, everything what Krishna has done was to attract us towards Krishna. From now on, all the activities are preparing us to come out of this entanglement. If everything I have relationship with this world, if I know that it is going to get destroyed tomorrow, my attachment will, if you are an intelligent person, you will think, why should I get absorbed in it too much? Isn't it? That thoughts will naturally come. And Krishna is concerned that one, in order to understand, qualify for liberation, one has to develop this Nirvedam or Vairagyam from the worldly objects. That is the goal of talking about this. Krishna says there. Suppose Krishna had protected the Yadavas. Imagine the other aspect of it also. If Krishna has protected Yadava, then what will happen is that people will not develop this Vairagyam in them. It will not develop in them. They will think, Krishna has protected his people, Krishna will protect me also. Krishna is telling us, you are not going to be here permanent, no matter what we do. Any great personality who had come here to this planet have to leave this place. Nobody has any permanent existence in this planet. Many, many people have tried. Even great acharyas have acknowledged that. They had come for their work, their duty they had done, and they have also gone back. This world is concerned, no one has any permanent existence here. If one knows that, then our relationship and all this attachment for this world will get a little bit loosened, isn't it? It should happen. I mean, I don't know whether it will happen or not, but it should happen. If we think like that. But if we don't think, then there's nothing we can do about it. There are people making plans, we'll go somewhere else and live and do all kinds of things. Going to the moon, going to the Mars, and this, that, and the other. But that's all just plans. It is no meaning. As far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, all these are foolish plans. There is no meaning in doing all these things. Ultimately, we have to leave. That is the reality. So, if that thought comes strongly in the mind, then our attachment to this world also will go away. To some degree. Otherwise, this attachment can go to such an extent that people make such big plans. Throughout life, I have to do this, I have to do that. And no time to think about what happens after death. So, in order to do that, Krishna expected us to understand through this particular pastime of Krishna. That. So after these three things, Krishna has caused what caused made Krishna to think and decided to destroy the Yadava race. That was the basic cause behind it. So these things, if you read Mahabharatam also, you will find Pandavas had to go through a lot of distress in life, isn't it? So when you read Mahabharatam or Srimad Bhagavatam, the one thing that will come to your mind is that devotees also go through so much distress in life. Generally, our approach to Krishna is like this: please don't give me any distress. Keep me happy always. This is our approach. But what do we find in Mahabharatam? The best devotees, Pandavas, they were going through the distress all the time. Isn't it? They were going through distress all the time. And here, Krishna is saying to Uddhava that distress is necessary. Because if that distress comes, then there is some possibility of understanding of life. Mayas, Krishna is breaking up the Maya's influence on us through these instructions in the Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam, and particularly to Pandavas' lifestyle. Pandavas, in spite of their greatest service to Krishna and devotion to Krishna, the distress they had to go through was unbelievable. It's something which you will see. Kunti Devi and the children had to go through in the forest and thrown away from the palace. And Duryodhana and his men, they were always in a happy situation. They never had any difficulty. But Pandavas had to go through all this in spite of the fact that they have taken shelter of Krishna. So similarly, in Bhagavad Gita also you will see things which Krishna did not tell Arjuna, these things. In Bhagavad Gita you don't find these things. But because Uddhava was more qualified to receive that knowledge, Krishna decided to speak about that in detail to Uddhava than to Arjuna. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava is on a higher platform, on a higher understanding than what Krishna has even revealed to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. That also you can see when you go through Srimad Bhagavatam later, when you go to the Ekadasha Skandam. So these are the things one has to observe here. So after this, we will just go through that verses in the Bhagavatam of the first chapter, and then we will go into the second chapter. Ekadasha Skandam, chapter 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kritva Daityavadam Krishna Saramo Yadavarubhrada Bhuva Avadarayal Bharam Javishtam Janayan Kalim. Kritva Daityavadam Krishna Saramo Yadavarubhradaha Bhuva Avadarayal Bharam Javishtam Janayan Kalim. Then Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit that after great demons were killed earlier, and which was done with the help of Balaram, and Krishna decided to create this quarrel within the family members and decided to once for all close this burden for the earth. Some people were killed by Balaram in that process, and some others were killed by the Yadavas. And Krishna wanted that all those devas, demigods who had come to help him, they were also should leave this world. That was Krishna's decision. Yeko bidaha subahu pandusuda asapatneer durdhyuda helanagaja grahanadivistan krutva nimitam idaredarada samedan hatva nirpan niraharal kshidibhara mishaha durdhyuda helanagaja grahanadivhi. Sudeva Goswami is talking about the activities of the Kauravas. How by cheating them in the gambling, as well as all the insults they have given to Pandavas, and in offending Draupadi by pulling her hair, all these kind of insulting activities, how Pandavas, they were prompted many times and they were upset by about it, but still that Krishna decided that all these kings should be killed in a war. Hatva anrupan niraharal kshidibharamishaha. Krishna decided to kill them all these kings, and relieve the burden of the earth. Bhubhara raja pradanayaya dhvir nirasya guptai subahu bhirav jindayada prameyaha manyeva nirnanigado pyagado hi bharo yad yadava kolamaho avishakhyamaste. Then Krishna, who cannot be understood by anyone, After he has relieved the earth from its burden, thought about this. Yad yadava kulamaho avishahyam astem. This Yadava Kulam is still there. My race, which is this Yadava race, is still there. And who have helped me, this Yadavas have helped Krishna to relieve the burden of the earth, isn't it? To relieve the burden of the earth. And they have become a burden now for me. This is how Krishna thought about them. You see, those who have helped me, that is why it said like this. Yad Yadava Kulam aho avishahyam aste. This Yadava Kulam has become a burden for me now. This is how Krishna thought. Naivanyada paribhavo se bhavel kadanjil malsamshrayasa vibhavo nahanasya nityam andakalim yadugulasa vidhaya venu tambasya vanni mivashanti mubhaimi dhamam. That because Krishna knew very well that the Yadavas who have come here on Krishna's request, one. Secondly, they were under the shelter of Krishna. So they are not going to be destroyed by anyone in this world, anytime. Because they were so powerful. So the only way to destroy them is himself, by his own Krishna's decision only, was to destroy them. Then let them fight each other and kill each other. This was Krishna's sangalpam, or Krishna's decision in his mind. He thought about this. And evam vyavasido rajan satya sangalpa ishwara shaba vyajena vipranam samjakhre sugulam vibhuhu. That after Krishna has decided like this, he decided to plant the seed, or plant the seed for the destruction. You see, just like Krishna's planting the seed is something like the terrorists do. You know what the terrorists do? They plant something and then it's a remote control somewhere, isn't it? They'll plant it and they know what time they have to blast, the bomb has to blast. So remotely they control it, and Krishna was doing exactly the same thing. He has decided that they have to go. And once a decision was made, then only that pressing the button, that was all needed. So everything, then it happens. That is Krishna. Krishna's decision is like that. Krishna decided Yadava should go, and he decided how it should, when it should happen, everything. So at the right time, the button was pressed. Evam vyasido rajan satya sangalpa ishwara. See the Sukadeva Goswami's words. Satya sangalpa ishwara. Satya sangalpam. Krishna is satya sangalpam. Whatever Krishna decides, that's it. There is nothing can change that. Satya sangalpam ishwara. It is satyam. Whatever Krishna decides is satyam. It is truthful. Our sangalpam is not truthful, isn't it? Our sangalpam can change from minute to minute. That's our sangalpam. But Krishna sangalpam is Krishna decides something, that's that. That's nothing can change. Shabhavyajena vipranam. How did Krishna decide that? Krishna decided this bomb should blast through this curse of the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, sages, who should come and curse the family members. And that's enough. That was the time bomb he has planted. So murtya logalavanya nirmukti alojanam nranam girbhistham smaradam chittam padaisthani kshadam kriyaha achidyagirtyam sushlokam vidati hanjaso anugav tamonaya tarishandi tyagalsum padamishwaram. Then Sukadeva Goswami is glorifying Krishna, by whose beauty, when it's associated with this material world, then it makes everything very beautiful. Because Krishna, by his nature, is pure spirit. That by his association with the earth, everything in this material world also becomes beautiful. Then, and that beautiful form Krishna exhibited here, and after that has given happiness to so many other people. Achidya girtim sushlokam vidati hanjasa anugav tamonaya darishyanti tyagalsum padamishwaram. Afterward, Krishna decided to go back to his own abode. Sri Rajo Vaja, Parishtu Maharaj is saying, Brahmanyanam vadanyanam nityam vruddho vasevinam viprashavakadamabhul prishninam krishna chedasam. When Parishtu Maharaj heard that due to the curse of the Brahmanas, this particular Yadava race got destroyed, he asked Sudeva Goswami, how could that happen? Why did this Brahmanas curse happen? And after all, they were known for their devotion to Brahmanas. The Yadavas were known for their devotion to the great sages and the Brahmanas. How come such a thing could happen to them? This was Parikshit Maharaj's question. It's also saying to us that even if we may be a devotee, it can happen to us also. The same nature, what has happened to the Yadavas, if Krishna wants that to happen, it can even happen to us also. That is why, not only that, generally Krishna's devotees such a thing would not happen. This is the Shastram says that Krishna, if you remember that pastime in the sixth canto, when Chitragedu was cursed by Sri Parvati, Chitragedu did not react to that, did he? He said he accepted that because at that time Lord Shiva says to Sri Parvati, look at Krishna's devotees, how great they are. Even when they were cursed, they did not react to that. But such a thing may not happen to Krishna's devotees. But here you can see that all these great Yadava members of Yadava family were devotees of Sri Narada Maharshi and Krishna. And always they respected the sages, and how such a thing could happen to them. This was the question. In answer to that, Krishna says, Yannimitta savaishavo yadrisho udhijasa tamaha katham egalpanam bhedam edal sarvam vadaswami. What was the reason for the curse? And what kind of curse was that? And how come the Brahmanas could do a curse like that? After all, Brahmanas are advanced in spiritually. And how come such a sages could perform such a curse? And why did such a thought come to them? Just like if you remember in the pastimes in the third canto, how come the four Kumaras felt like cursing the Jaya and Vijaya in the gatekeepers? Okay, if Jaya and Vijaya got a desire to stop the Kumaras, how come Kumaras reacted like this? That is also surprising to Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit expects that from them such a thing would not happen. So similarly here, Parikshit is asking again that how come the Brahmanas cursed them? Because normally they don't do such a thing. They are such tolerant, there's a great degree of tolerance in them. So Sri Shuka Vaja, Sukumadhuva Swami says, Vibhradhubhut Sagala Sundara Sannivesham Karmajaran Bhuvisumangalam Apta Kamaha Astaya Dhamma Ramamanam Udara Girti Samhartuma Ichada Gulam Siddhagratya Shesha. Then Sukumadhuva Swami says that still it is, first of all, it was a decision from Krishna. That Krishna decided that Yadavas must go, for reasons what we have spoken before. And once the decision was taken, he had the plans was laid out. Plan was this, that the that the Brahmana sages should come that way. And all these incidents, what happened after that, was actually the prompted by Krishna from within. That is, if Krishna decides something, then nobody can change it. Nobody can stop it. Karmani punyanivahani sumangalani gayajagal kalimala baharani krutva kala alpanani vasada yadudeva gehe pindaragam samagayan munayo nasrishtaham. So Krishna's decision was that after he has known that he decided to bring these sages to perform certain yagam, sacrifices, in a place called Pindaragam. Pindaragam was something like a holiday resort for Krishna. Often Krishna used to go from Dwaraka to Pindaragam and stay there for some time. Where it was a Krishna used to go on a holiday, you can say. So Krishna's holiday resort was Pindaragam, which is actually northwest of Dwaraka. Northeast of Dwaraka. So he used to go to Pindaragam, and Krishna wanted that all these sages should come there and perform a sacrifice there. And that was Krishna's decision. That also in Krishna's mind, this decision was that by performing such yagam or such sacrifices, it will benefit the whole world. So you can see how much Krishna was upholding Vedic culture. Performance of sacrifices, Krishna wanted them. Secondly, to execute the sacrifices, he got the best among the people, the great sages, to perform them. So one, Krishna has prompted them. Secondly, the people who are doing the yagam or sacrifices are also the great sages. From both angles, ever their activity is going to be beneficial to the world. Who are the sages? That's in the next verse. Vishwamitra asida kanno durvasa brurangira kashyapo vamadeva otri vasishtho naradadaya. Vishwamitra Maharshi, Asita, Kanva, Durvasava, Bhrigu, Angira Maharshi, Kashyapa Maharshi, Vamadevan, Atri, Vasishtan, Narada, Sri Narada Maharshi. They were all the great sages who have come. Kridandastha Anubhav Vrajyam Kumarayadunandanaha Upasamgrahya Vaprachu Avinida Avinida Vel. When the children, these young boys from the Yadava family,
they were playing there in this place in Pindaragam when the sages were coming that way. Sages came that way. They decided, what made them to think? Normally they were very respectful to these sages, but what made them to become so disrespectful? But Sugadeva Goswami says here, Ubasamgrihya paprachu avinita avinidaval avinita. Inside they were very duplicitous. Externally they were acting, they were very humble towards the sages. Inside it was avinita. Not at all. Not in the least humility they had inside. But externally they showed all humility towards them. Paprachu avinita vinidaval. What did they say? Te veshai dva stri veshai sambham jambavadi sudam. Esha prachadivo vipra andarvat asidekshanaha. That they have kept Jambavati's son in a female form, dressed up with saris and everything, and like a pregnant woman, they kept her there. And then he went to the sages and asked him, that lady who is standing there, who is pregnant, wants to ask you, sir, a question. Says to these great sages, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Durvasa, Angiras, and all of them. Prashtam vilajati sakshal pramudha mokha darshanaha prasoshyandi putra gama kimsil sanjanayushyadi. O great sages, you know everything, past, present and the future. The boys are saying to the sages, can we ask you a question? She is fully pregnant, and what kind of child will be born? She is feeling shy to come and ask you this question. On her behalf we are asking you this. We want him to have a boy is born from her. All these things, in order Krishna's son, Samba, to think like this, to act in this way. This is only Krishna's desire, that it had to happen like this. And also the role the other Yadava boys have done. First of all, Krishna's son, Samba. Krishna himself is so respectful to these sages, first of all. And Samba knows this very well. But at that moment, Samba has forgotten this. He thought it is for him to have some fun now with them. So he decided this, and also the other members of the Yadava families, they also felt doing the same. So Sudeva Goswami is saying it was all prompted from Krishna himself within. Because otherwise such a behavior would not come from Samba. Samba is Krishna's son, Jambavati's son. Evam prarabdha munayastanu jukuvidanruba janeshadi omanda kusalam kulanashanam. Then they are saying that the sages got immediately angry and replied back, janeshadi omanda kusalam kulanashanam. They will deliver a iron rod which will be the, it is not going to be a boy or a girl, it will be an iron rod that will come out, and that will be the destruction of your whole race. Saying this, they walked away from there. Tachrutva devi sandrasta vimucha sahasodaram sambasya durushustasmin musalam kalvayasmayam. As soon as they heard these words from the sages, the sages left straight away. They went and opened up Samba's sari and closed everything. And there they say they saw a huge piece of iron rod inside. That so through that iron rod, Krishna's decision manifested in the form of iron rod. It says in the Bhagavatam that that how could such a thing happen? How could such a thing happen? These all questions will come, isn't it? We can say, oh, this is a story. How could this happen and all that? But when Krishna decides, it happens. There is nothing that stops that. Kim kradam manda bhagyerna kim madishyanti no janaha ma idi vikhulirageha adaya musalam yayum. Immediately the boy started thinking, what is going to now to happen to us? And they took that iron rod and went to their own, went to the, see the king. Tachobaniya sarasi parimlana mukha shriyaha rajyama vedayan chakru sarvayadava sannidhau. Afterwards, the boys where all the other Yadavas were also present, Krishna was not present there, they informed Ugrasena, King Ugrasena, about this. Shrutva moham viprashavam drishtvajam salam nruva vismidamaya sandrasta babhuvar dwaraka ugasam. Then after they heard about the curse of the Brahmanas, and when they see this iron rod, the king and the Yadavas, they all felt a little depressed. But Ugrasena even in spite of all this, never thought of talking to Krishna about this. So why did that happen? That is also Krishna's decision. Just like anything else, it's Krishna has decided that that is how it's going to be.
Tachurnayitvam salam yadraja samahuga samudra salile prase loham chasyavasheshidam.
They ground it, filed it and made it into powder and throw it into the sea, and later on they turned into, in the waves they came and came back and they grew as grass there. How could this happen? This is what it is said. Akadida gadana padiyasi maya, maya's power. When Krishna had to act, maya is ready to take the instructions, isn't it? Maya take the instructions and things happen in that way. There's nothing that can stop that.
Malsyo grihido malsyagne jalena anye saharnave tasyodragadam loham sasalye lupthagogaral.
That small piece of metal that was left, a fish has eaten, and one fisherman has caught that fish in the net and sold it to a hunter. And with that piece, when the fish was sold to the hunter, hunter cut open the fish and saw this piece of metal inside, and he took that metal and made an arrow out of that.
Bhagavan yada sarvartam isharobita dhanyada kartam naichad viprashavam kalaru opyanyamo dadam.
Then, when Krishna has decided, Bhagavan yada sarvartam isharobita dhanyada, although he is all powerful to destroy the Yadava race in 1 second, is not a problem. But still, he wanted it to happen in this way, through this Brahmana's sage's curse. That is how he decided like that. Then, also wanted to indicate to us that everything can go one day from this world if Krishna wants, if that is Krishna's decision. That it is Srimad Bhagavate, Mahabharani, Ekadasi Skande, Yadugula Shama Nirupanam Nama, Pradhamodhyaya, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam, Govinda Govinda. So, in this one chapter, Krishna has planted the seed for the destruction of the Yadava race. And after this chapter, actually, in Ekadasi Skandam, one important topic begins now. In Bhagavadam, Ekadasi Skandam particularly, 3 chapters are divided to talk about Krishna consciousness or devotion to Krishna, bhakti. Chapter 2, chapter 14, and chapter 29. These 3 chapters in the Ekadasi Skandam is exclusively devoted to tell us what is bhakti, what is Krishna consciousness. So, because of that, from now on, 4 chapters is extremely important in the Bhagavadam, because when one understands these 4 chapters, one can have a little realization of what is Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? It is these 4 chapters which Krishna expands in 29 chapters to Uddhava later. The topic is the same, but only thing is, here through Vasudeva and Narada Maharshi this conversation happens. There the same thing happens between Krishna and Uddhava. If you have understood these 4 chapters, what Vasudeva and Srinarada Maharshi have spoken to each other, then automatically you will understand the other 29 chapters easily, without too much difficulty. Therefore, you can see how important these next 4 chapters are. So, Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna has, there are only 2 important discussions. One between Vasudev and Srinarada Maharshi, and the other one between Krishna and Uddhava. If you do these 2 topics from Ekadasi Skandam, everything else is not so important. These are the 2 important things which talks about liberation. Why they are important? Because this detachment, what we spoke about, Nirvedam or Vairagyam, it has come to 2 people. One is Vasudev, another one is Uddhava. And through these 2 examples, Vasudev and Uddhava, Krishna is demonstrating to us how a person is prepared to accept spiritual instructions and he is fully able to understand and accept it and realize it when Vairagyam is inside. And that Vairagyam, what has come to Vasudev and what has come to Uddhava, is what you will see in the coming many, many chapters. Vasudev, not only Krishna's father, at the time of appearance, Vasudev was told something by Krishna. If you remember, in the third chapter of 10th canto, what did happen in the prison when Krishna appeared in the four-handed form? Vasudev and Devaki started glorifying them. Beautiful glorification in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudev's glorification. At that time, Krishna asked Vasudev, are you frightened of Kamsa? Isn't it? Krishna asked this question to Vasudev. Vasudev said yes. So, and then Babhuva Pragradashishu, Krishna went back to that baby form at that time from the four-handed form. And then Krishna said to Vasudev that before you take me to Nanda Maharaj's home, to Gokulam, I have one thing to tell you, that I heard all your glorification. I've come now here as your son now, as you wanted me to come. This is your third birth, third appearance for me too, in your three successive appearances previously as Prishnigarbha and Sudabhas, Kashyapa and Aditi, now Vasudeva and Devaki. There are three different appearances in which Krishna appeared for them in three different forms. So now Krishna says, I've come now, but this is your last one. So in this birth, you have to develop that qualification to get liberated from here. Otherwise, it's no good. So in one verse, Krishna said to Vasudev that Yuvavam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chalsagrat, that you should treat me as your son, no doubt about it, and you should give me all your affection, love, everything as your son. But also, don't forget, you also develop this relationship with me as I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma bhavena. There in the Bhagavatam you can see that. Imamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chalsakrav. But what happened to Vasudev and Devaki was, throughout this whole life in Mathura and later on in Dwaraka, that message got lost in the process. They thought Krishna is our son. When Krishna is our son, why to worry about anything? This thought developed inside. But Krishna wouldn't let go things like that. Krishna says, you may be my father or anybody, doesn't matter. You also have to come through the process. That is what Krishna likes. Whether it is Uddhava, whether it is Vasudev or anybody, there is a set process. And Krishna likes it that we come through that process. That is why his own father was brought as an example here. To tell us, Krishna, we shouldn't think that, oh, everything will work out automatically. Nothing will work out automatically unless we put the effort into it. Having understood Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Absolute Truth, and having read Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if we still ignore it, Krishna says, good luck to yourself. I can't do anything about it. Because he has done from his side what he has to do. If we don't take it seriously and we start making excuses and thinking, oh, at the last minute Krishna will come and take me back to the spiritual world, it will not happen. Because that is why in 115 years association with Uddhava, Krishna had. And even after 115 years, Uddhava was pleading to Krishna to take him back with him. Tektum samulsahenatha swathamanayamamabhi. While going back, why don't you take me back? Uddhava says to Krishna, swathamanayamamabhi. That you are going back to your abode, I am aware. Krishna says, yes, I am going back to my abode. But I can't separate myself from you because of this long association Uddhava had. How long? 115 years of association with Krishna. And then Uddhava asking Krishna that why don't you take me with you? Naham tavangrigamalam kshanardham abhigeshava tektum samulsahe nadha swadhavanayamam abhi. This was Uddhava's words. Naham tavangrigamalam kshanardham abhigeshava. Even for a second, I cannot stay away from your lotus feet. That was the kind of attachment Uddhava had for Krishna. Can you imagine that? Naham tavangrigamalam kshanardham abhigeshava tektum samulsahe nadha swadhavanayamamabhi. That Uddhava was saying to Krishna, please, begging to him, take me back with you. Krishna says, no, not yet. That is how Krishna's, this bhakti is not an easy thing. This is what it is showing to us. We think everything is very simple, isn't it? We make it so simple. A few rounds I've chanted here and there, I'll be back to the spiritual world next day. This is what our head is thinking like that. But Ekadasi Skandam, if you study seriously, you will realize that it is not an easy thing. Tektum samulsahenatha sodha amanayama amavi. We have to put a lot of energy into that. And that is what is Krishna is talking about. So for that, on the one hand, Uddhava, the dearest friend. On the other hand, his own father, Vasudev, the best example. Who else can be more closer to Krishna than them? And they were being brought here in Ekadasham as the examples who accepted these instructions, who practiced them in their life, and eventually who went back to the spiritual world in that process. So you can see how in Ekadasha Skandam, Vasudev and Uddhava were brought in for this specific reason. There is nobody else who is a better example than them. So this is what has happened to Vasudev. Vasudev, somehow or the other, forgotten that. Brahma Bhavena Chasakar. That was completely lost. So Krishna decided that Vasudev must get proper instruction now. I have instructed, it didn't work, it didn't help. So, as usual, Krishna has one representative who goes when proper instruction is necessary. He had to go. Who was that? Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi had to go. So, Narada Maharshi was told, was prompted from within, he should now go and see Vasudev and Devaki. So, Narada Maharshi used to come to Dwaraka very often. It was quite often he used to come to see Krishna. And whenever Vasudev saw Sri Narada Maharshi, most of probably he will show a hands, a namaste to Sri Narada Maharshi. That's all. Nothing more than that. Vasudev used to think, what is there for me to ask Sri Narada Maharshi? He has come to see Krishna. Krishna is staying with me all the time. What is there for me to ask Sri Narada Maharshi anything from him? This is what was going through Vasudev's mind for a very, very long time. Innumerable occasions, Narada Muni had come to see Krishna. But Vasudev never felt asking anything to him up to this point. But today, this particular instance, Vasudev felt that he had to ask something to Krishna. So that is how that second chapter begins. That arrangement of the Vasudev to go to Sri Narada Maharshi, to approach him and to ask these questions. Not normally, we do not get this realization easily. That this body has been given to us for what? What purpose has it been given? Why was it given? It was given for only one reason. What was that? To finish up some karma. That's why we had come here. And after the karma is extinguished, that then we accept another body to finish up more karma, whatever we have created or what was in storage again. So like this, the cycle of birth and death is going on. And no matter how much it is spoken about it, that this is not our true identity, that this body, it will not get into our head, isn't it? No matter how strongly it is spoken, it won't get into our head. So, Ekadasha Skandam is saying to us, what should we do to find out that identity, what we are? That's what this Ekadasha is all about. How to understand what's my true identity is. So, in order to have some interest in liberation, in mukti, first of all, qualification is that our interest in material life has to come down. Our interest in material life has to come down. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, these two things cannot go together. What is that? Bhukti and mukti. On the one hand, if we want to enjoy life and keep everything wonderful in this world, at the same time, we want to be liberated after death, and we want Krishna to do both for us, Krishna says, that's not possible. That's not possible. So, I'm sure as soon as we hear that, 50% will say, well, that's enough for me, then I'm not interested. That'll be the answer. But unfortunately, it is like that. Ekadasha Skandam is pointing out to us that this vairagyam must come in order that to understand the instructions of Ekadasham. Because Ekadasham is built up on the foundation of vairagyam. That is the basic qualification for that. That how can one experience a desire to detach himself from this world only when one realizes that all the experiences of this world is going to bring distress to him at the end. Isn't it? That's what family life is all about then. Ultimately, it's all distress that's bringing to us. So when a lot of distress comes like this, automatically a little detachment will come to ordinary people. That is why it is spoken like this, that vastu. Vastu means any sense objects in this world. If we feel that all sense objects, sense gratification, everything ends up in distress, if we come to that realization, then automatically some vairagyam will develop. And in that consciousness, when one becomes peaceful, if you instruct ekadasya skandham, it will have its impact on that person. This is the message there. So, in the ekadasya skandham begins with this interest. Krishna is giving an indication that he himself become very renounced. That's why he was able to do this to the family members, to the Yadava race itself. So after Krishna decided that Yadava should also be extinguished from this world, you will notice there this quality in Krishna of full detachment you will see from the very beginning. If you remember, when Krishna left to Vrindavanam and went to Mathura, Krishna says to the gopis, I'll come back very soon, didn't he? What did Krishna say to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? Krishna knew very well that he is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But he decided at that time that he could leave because there was much more important business in Mathura to be done. So he decided to go. No attachment to Vrindavanam there at that point. Okay, we speak about Krishna and Vrindavanam in a different level, but when you look at the pastimes in this world, you can see that at every point when Krishna has acted, it was always with full detachment. Full detachment. So Krishna had a lot of opportunity to enjoy life in Vrindavanam, but when he decided to go to Mathura, Mathura was more important. Vrindavanam was not the important situation at that time. After arriving in Mathura, what happened? As soon as Kamsa was killed, it was the perfect opportunity for Krishna to become the king, wasn't it? Krishna could have taken over the king straight away. No, what did he do? He goes and brings the grandfather, Ugrasena, and tells him, the old man who is almost finished his life, Krishna brings him over and says to him, please be the king now. You become the king. Ugrasena says to Krishna that, why should I become a king? I don't have the capacity. I am such an old person. Nobody will listen to me if I say anything now. If I say anything, nobody will listen to me. In the past, it was like that. The people who give instructions, they should have the confidence that to whom they give instructions will take it. This democratic system makes a lot easier for people. Everything you can give instructions through email or through other means. There is no direct presentation. Directly you don't deal with anybody. Through your so-called other secretaries and all, job gets done. But Kshatriya kings would not have that. They won't have that. They had that capacity to get things done in the way they instructed people. So Ugrasena felt that that the instructions, if I give any, no one will take it. So Ugrasena says to Krishna, why not Vasudeva becomes the king? Krishna says, no, you should become the king. Krishna insisted that Ugrasena should become the king. And it was at that time that Ugrasena hesitated. He won't agree. Krishna took the crown from Kamsa's head and put it on Ugrasena's head. And it says in the Bhagavatam like this, Mai bhāryam mai bhṛtya upāsitya bhavado vibhudādayam harandhyavanilam. That all what we are asking, Krishna says to Ugrasena, me and Balaram will be two servants here. That's enough for you. Everything we will carry out. Don't worry. Just maintain us somehow. Give us some prasadam. We'll take it and we'll live here. We will do the rest of the things. This is all Krishna says to Ugrasena. Ugrasena agrees accordingly, and that is how the Ugrasena was made as the king. There also, you can see that Krishna's detachment in the whole thing. Nisangatvam. Nisangatvam, it is mentioned. Nisangada. Nisangada means that detached mode of acting. So, you have seen that in Vrindavanam, you have seen that in Mathura. Now you can see that in Dwaraka also. When Krishna decided that all this family must go, he did not think, oh, my family should stay, other families can go. That's how normally people are, isn't it? But Krishna decided, no, my family should go first. They are not necessary anymore. So the same nisangada or detachment, you can see there also in Krishna's decision. So a person who has acted like this, when he gives instructions to Uddhava, Uddhava's mind is going through all these things. Uddhava is an intelligent person. Vrishninam pravaro mandri, krishnasya daida sakaha, shishyo brihaspade sakshal, Uddhava buddhi sattamaha. Uddhava won't take anything like that for granted. He will think through it. He will see the person behind who is giving the instructions. Only after that, Uddhava will react to that. So you can see, Uddhava has thought through these things and understood that this is how. So when it comes from Krishna, Uddhava had no difficulty in accepting that. Uddhava has no difficulty in accepting that. So to instruct Uddhava, Krishna had to prepare all these things much in advance. He had to do all these things. So at this point, Srinarada Maharshi comes to Vasudev to instruct about Krishna consciousness. About Krishna consciousness. Because that's only one thing Vasudev was lacking at this time in life. My son is with me, but Vasudev is lacking this Krishna consciousness. Even Vasudev needed Krishna consciousness to be instructed. So what would speak about all of us? How much do we need instructions to become Krishna conscious? And in order to instruct Vasudev, Krishna selected one of the greatest 12 Mahajans, isn't it? Swayambhu, Narada Maharshi, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Belim, Vayasagi, Vayam, Yamadharma Raja. These 12 are the great authorities on Krishna consciousness. They know what is Krishna consciousness. So out of these 12, Krishna selected the topmost one is Brahma. Because who taught Brahma Krishna consciousness? Krishna himself. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. Bhagavatam begins with this, isn't it? So Krishna, Brahma brought instructions in Krishna consciousness from Krishna himself. So if you take Brahma away, then the next person who is authorized to talk about Krishna consciousness is Sri Narada Maharshi. Nobody else. That is Narada Muni's great position. He holds that great qualification that someone who is qualified to speak Krishna consciousness is Sri Narada Maharshi. Not everybody else can talk about Krishna consciousness. So that's why it is said, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, even Lord Shiva, Shambhu, comes after that. Even Shambhu has got after that. Lord Shiva even comes after Sri Narada Maharshi. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kavila, Oh Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Belim, Vyasa, Vayam. So it is this Sri Narada Maharshi who was asked to go to Vasudev to instruct the to instruct about the Krishna consciousness. So Dvadashaham Vijaninam, these 12 personalities, this is spoken in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Ajamila Ubhakhyanam or Ajamila's story was discussed. Yamadharma Raja is telling his assistants, who are the 12 people who knows about what is Krishna consciousness? And it is in that connection these 12 personalities are quoted. So, in one particular instance, Sri Narada Maharshi came to the palace. And Vasudev went to Sri Narada Maharshi and paid his obeisances to him. And after paying his obeisances, Vasudev decided to worship Sri Narada Maharshi. Worshipped him, and then Sri Narada Maharshi asked Vasudev what he wanted to know. And it was then that Vasudev asked this question, that what is Bhagavad. He wanted to hear from Sri Narada Maharshi about it. He wanted to hear from Sri Narada Maharshi about Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam is actually nothing but Krishna consciousness. That is Bhagavata Dharmam. So this Bhagavata Dharmam, when Vasudev questioned, Sri Narada Maharshi explained to him. What is Sri Narada Maharshi's understanding is. Here again, something more interesting. When Vasudev asked this question to Sri Narada Maharshi, Vasudev, Narada Maharshi did not say to him, "Oh, I'll tell you about that. I know what it is. I can tell you now." No. Narada Maharshi's answer was like this. Narada Maharshi says to Vasudev, "Many, many years ago, I had an opportunity to go to an assembly in the Yagashala or the sacrificial arena of King Nimi. And in that sacrifice, great sages have arrived. In one instance, the 9 children of Rishabhadev, Maharaj Rishabhadev's children, they happened to come there. And in that instance, King Nimi asked some questions to these 9 sages. And in that situation, I was also present in that assembly. I had the opportunity to hear from them, from these sages, about Bhagavata Dharma. So what I heard, what those sages have spoken to King Nimi, that is still in my mind, which I will now repeat to you. This is Sri Narada Maharshi's humility. That even after he could have very well said, "I know what Krishna consciousness is," and he could have said what he wanted to say. But on the other hand, even Sri Narada Maharshi will say like this, "This is what I have heard from them, from those sages, and I will explain that to you to my understanding." Exactly like in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, when Suda Goswami came to Naimisharanyam, and when the Shaunaka Rishi and all the other great sages who are present in Naimisharanyam, when they asked the questions to Suda Goswami, how did Suda reply that? "Yatha adidam yatha amati." I have understood certain things from my spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. Whatever I have understood, according to my capacity, I will present it to you. "Yatha adidam yatha amati." According to my capacity, I will present that to you. This is how Suda Goswami spoke to Shaunaka Rishi. And you will see, it is the same tradition always in the Vedic system. It's always that you have heard it from somebody. Someone has told. And whatever you have heard, you should mention that you had the opportunity to hear this from someone who may be anyone. But that personality, you should mention that I had the opportunity to hear this from them in another occasion, and that I will repeat this to you. This is how that message is transmitted. So Sri Narada Maharshi, when Vasudev asked this question, immediately reply from Sri Narada Maharshi was this, that I was present in that meeting between King Nimi and these 9 sages, and whatever I have heard, I will now explain that to you. And that is how this famous discussion in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the discussion between the 9 sages and the king begins. So, here you will notice that that these instances, what Krishna has, what that the 9 sages' qualities are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. 9 sages' qualities are mentioned. Why they are qualified? These 9 sages had one nature. They will always travel together. They will always travel together. Never they will split up. What was the reason for that? Reason was this. They were always talking about Krishna. One person will speak, the other 8 will listen. And then the next, another person will speak, and the remaining 8 will listen. In this way, constantly talking about Krishna, that was their happiness, these sages. So that is why they could not break away and go somewhere else. This is one of their great qualities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take this part of the discussions, you will see there is a verse there, which it says there, that the nature of these sages, what is that? If you look in the 3rd chapter, verse 30, 30. there is a verse. It is the nature of these great sages. Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha vidhoradir midhastushti nivartir midhamalmana. The true nature of this devotee. Devotee means not ordinary devotees. That is what it is. These devotees have no other activity except this. What was that? Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha midhoradir midhastushti nivartir midhamalmana. That they will never be satisfied of glorifying Krishna. Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha. Never satisfied in any time in glorifying Krishna. What else is vidhoradir midhastushti? That mutually they were very pleasing to each other and they derived extreme happiness from that. Almana midha nivrti. Nivartir midhama almana. That in order to increase our devotion to Krishna, the first and foremost thing is to talk about Krishna and to hear about Krishna. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, isn't it? So that the devotion to grow, one should hear about Krishna. And they had made this as their mission in the life. They had no other concern about anything else. These nine sages had no other interest in anything else. All the great authorities in the bhakti process, if you analyze their life, you will see then one important thing, that they had the perfect renunciation, absolutely no interest in anything in this world except Krishna. That is their great qualification. And that is what has brought them to that stage. Whether it is Srinarada Maharshi, all these great sages, nine sages, they all had this, they have come to this standard of Krishna consciousness that there is nothing else in this world for them except Krishna. Their Krishna consciousness is not limited to what we practice here. It is limited to many, many other universes and activities in there. Very fact that these nine sages were quoted here, there is a reason also behind it. If you look into the verse number 23 in the same chapter, the nature of the sages is discussed there, what they are like. It is in the verse, 23 in chapter 2. What was the speciality of these sages? They were not ordinary sages. They had some special capacity. What was that? Avyahadeshtagadaya surasiddhasadhya gandharvayaksha naraginnara nagalogan mukta ascharandi municharana bhutanada vidhyadara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam. These nine sages had one capacity. As soon as they desire, they want to go somewhere, they can get there. Nothing could stop them. That was their, that special word there you can see. Avyahadeshta gathaya surasiddha sadhya. Avyahadeshta gathaya. They just had to think, we want to be in Brahmalokam now. They are in Brahmalokam straight away. We want to be in Maharlokam. They can be in Maharlokam straight away. How could this happen? This was the qualification of these sages. They had a capacity what is known as, they could change their body according to the conditions of the particular environment where they went. If they want to be in sun planet, the body, instead of, this is an earthly body when we are here, isn't it? We can't change our body. But they could change this body into a fiery body. In other words, out of the five material elements, when the fire becomes a predominating element in the body, it's capable of entering into the fire. It's capable of entering into the fire. These are all yoga siddhis. That is why Srila Prabhupada was repeatedly saying that in order to transfer yourself, if you want to travel to other planets, there's nothing wrong in that. But the process is like this. Rather than manufacturing all this complicated and sophisticated thing and ultimately the whole thing breaking down and coming back. He says the process is like this. These sages are the perfect indication of how to travel to the other planets. They had the capacity to do that. That's why that word is used there. Avyahadeshtagadaya sudasurasiddha sadhya gandharvayaksha naraginnara nagalogan. The places where they used to travel are mentioned there. What are they? Devas, demigods planet. Siddhas, sadhyas, gandharvas, yakshas, human, earthly planet. Kinnaras, sarpas, and municharana bhudanada vidhyadara dvijagavam. Sages, charanas, bhudhadivadis, vidhyadaras. Not only that, wherever they wanted, Bhuvanani Mukta Ascharandi Muni Charana Bhutanada Vidyadara Dvijagavam Bhuvanani Kamam, that according to their desire, they could go wherever they wanted to go. That is why if you see, when this appearance of these nine sages happened in the Nimis Yagashala, this happens in Mithila, isn't it? It happens in Mithila. That is where this great sacrifice was happening. So at that time, according, Nimi had these great questions to ask, many questions to ask. So by Krishna's arrangement, these nine sages appeared there. They come down from the sky. You can see that picture drawn in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees have drawn that picture. How the nine sages are coming down from the sky. Nine sages were coming down from the sky. They were not coming from another, they were coming from another planet at that time. That's why it's shown like that. And when they arrived, immediately King Nimi understood that they were not ordinary personalities. They were not ordinary personalities. Who are they? Kavi, Kavirhari Andariksha, Prabuddha Pipalayana, Avirhotrosha Drumila, Chamasa Karabhajana. They are the nine sages. These nine sages, if you remember, when we talked in the fifth canto about the Maharaj Rishabhadev, at that time Sukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit one thing. What did he say? In order to know their glories, you have to wait till Ekadasha Skandam. This is how he said to Parikshit at that time. That I will talk about them in Ekadasham, he said. I think it was in the fourth or fifth canto. That when Rishabhadev's children, he had 100 children, the eldest was King Bharata, and there were 9 of them became great yogis, which are mentioned here. 81 of them became the brahmanas, and then another 9 became the kings of the different locations, different varshas. So all that is discussed in the fifth canto when Maharaj Rishabhadev was discussed. But while coming about these 9 sages, Sudeva Goswami said to Parikshit at that time, to hear about them, you have to wait till Ekadasham to hear their glories. And now, Sudeva Goswami is bringing them back here to in front of Nimi. So when the 9 sages arrived there, automatically King Nimi understood. Great personalities have arrived. He paid his obeisances to all of them, offered them proper places to sit, washed their feet, and offered all respects to them, to these sages. Srinara Maharshi said he was also present in that meeting. So out of these 9 sages, Kavi is the eldest sage. Kavi is the eldest sage. And it is Kavi who is going to talk first to King Nimi. But before they talk anything, first thing was Nimi had question to ask. Nimi had some questions to ask. What was Nimi's question? Nimi's question was this. Nimi wanted to know, what should I do to become ultimately happy, properly happy? Ultimate happiness. How can I achieve ultimate happiness? Atyandika kshemam, it says like that. Atyandika kshemam, how can I achieve? This was Nimi Maharaj's question to the 9 sages. What is so interesting about this question? Everybody wants to be happy, isn't it? So what is this special question Nimi Maharaj was asking to the 9 sages? The first and foremost thing here is to know this happiness is, what is this happiness we are talking about, isn't it? Generally, happiness, when we refer to something, is that we become happy, we get something, we become happy. Next day, if it's lost, we become unhappy. This is the type of happiness we are used to, isn't it? Our happiness is based on all these things. If you win a lottery, you're happy for a few days, and then after some time, same old story. Similarly, so many other little problems in this world, what comes to us in everyday life. A problem comes, a few days it lasts, it gets resolved, and then you become happy for some time. Another problem comes, another few days distress, then somehow gets sorted out and you become happy again. This way the whole life goes on, day after day after day. But Nimi was not asking such a question. That's why Atyandika Kshemam is the word that was used there. Nimi did not ask the 9 sages, Now I am a king, how can I become an emperor? That was not the question he asked. In other words, the question itself is such a question, it is meant to for the benefit of the rest of the human society. That's the beauty of that question. That's the beauty of the question. How many people ask such questions in this world? For the benefit of the world, I am asking this question. No. We go to any saintly personality. We will see, what can I get out of this person? And what should I ask him for my own benefit? My problem, this problem or that problem, whatever I have. Can you give me some solution to this? This is how we go to them, isn't it? But this in the Bhagavatam, this one incident is indicating to us, when you meet a saintly personality like that, the questions should not be based on individual's selfish life or selfish interest. It should be for the benefit of the whole world, benefit of others. So the question was that he did not ask anything except what is the ultimate welfare, ultimate benefit, atyandiya kshemam for the whole human society. This was his for the whole world. This was his question. So when the question came up like this from them, the answer from them was also very appropriate. It says here that the atyandiya kshemam, what we say, atyandiya kshemam, what we say, is a little bit difficult for us to understand. What is that thing we are talking about, atyandiya kshemam? And even if we discuss it, it won't click into our head because we are not used to it. That's the main reason. Unless we got something used to it, we cannot understand it, isn't it? Our kshemam today is like this. That when we write letters also, when we used to write letters or we send emails now, we say, hope everything is well with you, everything is okay with me. This is the kind. And then with the very next line, we'll say, I have an appointment with the doctor today at 9:30. And this is the kind of kshemam we are used to. Our kshemam is based on all these things. So such people, when we talk about kshemam or atyandiya kshemam, it is very difficult to experience that. It's very difficult to know it, what it means. And we all know from our own experience that in this world, such a kshemam doesn't exist. Atyandiya kshemam doesn't exist. Or ultimate happiness doesn't exist in this world. That is as far as this world is concerned. Now, if you go to heavenly planets, what's the situation there? Is it anything different in the heavenly planets? If you read Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Puranam, you will find there what goes on there. The demigods there are frightened. When is Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu going to come? Or some Tarakasura, or even forget about all of them, when Durvasa Muni is going to come. You remember? When Durvasa Muni come, that was enough for them, isn't it? All if you know that past time, what we discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, that whole churning the milk ocean, why did that has to happen? Because of this great personality, Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni went there and got this garland from the Apsaras women, took the garland and gave it to Indra. Indra did not take care of it, and Durvasa Muni got upset, cursed him, and made the whole demigod's planets, all of them, to become old and diseased, old age and disease. And they had to suffer from that very, very long time, isn't it? Till Krishna decided to churn the milk ocean and get the nectar and have all Mohini appearance and serve the nectar to the demigods and got them their health back. So there they are living in this fear. Is Durvasa Muni coming anytime? That's their fear. Now if you see, Hiranyakashipu went there to heavenly planet, if you remember. What did he do when he went there? If you read the seventh canto, you will see what Hiranyakashipu did in the heavenly planet. Jagur Mahendra Sanamo Janastidam Vishwava Surstandal Padadaya. That as soon as he went there, saw Indra's chair, he gave a kick with his left foot. That's what he did, first thing. Who is this Indra, he says. That is how Hiranyakashipu walks in to the heavenly planet. So when Hiranyakashipu walked in, what did Indra do? Indra and the demigods, they had to leave the place straight away. There was no shelter because he knew Hiranyakashipu had come fully prepared. He couldn't do anything about it. Indra couldn't fight. Because if you remember the whole pastime in the seventh canto, when Hiranyakashipu started his penances, austerities and penances, the air from his head was going up and it was burning even the heavenly planets. And the heavenly planets were getting heated up because of the air from his head, from his austerities. And the demigods asked the Lord Brahma, why it's happening? Brahma told him that this is what's happening and it's better you prepare to leave this place straight away. So there also the fear exists. In this world we know every moment we are under fear. Fear, fear, fear. That's the only thing what we have here. Fear about every silly little thing. What he will do to me, what the boss will do to me, what the wife will do to me, what the husband will do to me, what the children will do to me tomorrow, what my friends will do to me, what the employer will do to me. Like this, it is a series of fears in one way or the other, all the time. And we got so used to these fears, we take it as normal to be like this, all the time in fear. Fearful existence. Sometimes we can't even smile because as soon as we see a person, what is he up to now? The next thing, what is he going to do to me? So, it is in this fear we are living in this world. And this has become so much habituated to it that we don't feel anymore anything better we know. That there could be another existence without all this fear. We can't even imagine that because that has become so much a part of our life, isn't it? So, here the question is, The question what came from Nimi is that is there a thing called Atyandika Kshemam, ultimate happiness, where this kind of fears don't exist? So now you can see in the earthly planet we know, nobody need to tell us what it's like. If you go to heavenly planets, we know from the Puranams what it is like. There, whether are they living free from fear? They are also not living free from fear. Now, forget about this demigods' planets. Let us go to the topmost planet, who? Brahma. Lord Brahma's planet, Brahmalogam. He is called as Satyalogadhipati, isn't it? Satyalogam is under his control. He lives there. What about his condition? His condition is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam is like this. He says there that it is Srimad Bhagavatam statement in the, it is in the third canto. It says, Purva Parardho Abakrando Abarodhya Pravartade. Purva Parardham Abakrando Abarodhya Pravartade. Brahmaji is thinking, how close am I going to my pension? That's what he is thinking. Purva Parardham Abakrandam. There are two Parardhams in Brahmaji's life. Brahmaji has got total 100 years life. Brahma is now a little bit concerned. You know why? Because he has crossed, he is 50 plus now. He has reached 50 plus. 50 plus is not a very good age because 50 plus brings a lot of, even government recognizes that. They have printed literature with 50 plus. So, Purva Parardham Abakranda. Purva Parardham is finished. 50 years is gone. Then, Brahma says here that Abarodha Pravartade, my second 50 years have started now. Brahmaji is 51 year old. So almost Brahma is sure now that it is coming to an end. Maybe it's a little longer time compared to us, but that doesn't matter. The anxiety and fear is in Brahma's mind also. So even if you go to Brahmalokam, you are not free from this fear. The same fear, even if you become Lord Brahma, this fear will not go away. That one day it is going to come to an end. That's the worst part of it. So there is no happiness in Brahmalogam. There is no happiness in the demigod planets. And in this world, we don't have to discuss it. We all, without any discussions, we know what is available in this world. So this question from our King Nimi is covering all these complete universe, not only earthly planet. His question is there any way I can escape from this? So now you see the gravity of that question. He was not asking how I can get win a lottery or any temporary thing like that. His question was so grave and profound that he wanted to know, is there any way I can get out of this anxiety of death, whether it is Brahmalokam, whether it is heavenly planets, or Surgalokam, or whether it is earthly planet, Bhulokam. No matter wherever it is, King Nimi had known very well that this fear will follow me. So it is in this context that he has asked this question, that what is the way to escape from this. So in answer to this, the answer was given by Kavi Maharshi, sage Kavi. Manye kutaschil bhayamachudasya padambujo vasanam atranityam uddigna bhukde asadalma bhaval. So, first of all, Kavi says to King Nimi, before we find about this solution, what is the solution, how to become ultimately happy, first of all, find out what caused this fear. Isn't it? Unless we know what has actually caused this fear of material existence, you'll often see Prabhupada speaks about this fear of material existence. Have you seen this word? Often he is using in his lectures the fear of material existence. Samsara dhavan analitha loga tranaya karunya ghanaghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guroshri charanaravindam. That fear, samsaram means material existence. Material existence means fear. Fear with existence, material existence is called samsaram. So when one wants to free oneself from this, Kavi Maharshi says, manye kudaschil bhayamachudasya pada ambujo bhasanamatra nityam. Before we inquire about where this fear had come and what is the solution to that, Kavi Maharshi says to Nimi, first thing to to understand is, why did this fear come to me? Why I am suffering from this fear? Why is this fear constantly following me every instance? When as soon as I am awake in the morning, the fear comes. As soon as I go to sleep in the dream, the fear comes. As soon as, probably in deep sleep, I escape from this a little bit, where I have no control either. But as soon as I leave deep sleep and come back to dream and also to the waking state, the whole fear comes back to me again. So what is the solution, he says. That's why he answers, manye kudaschil bhayamachudasya pado ambujovasanam atranityam. Bhayam achudasya pado ambujovasanam atranityam, he says. Manye kudaschil bhayam. Where did this fear come from? The fear had come from what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this fear or material existence had come to us from what? The beginning of this fear is with the the martyasya artyasya manye vyavasaradi bhayam yena sarvatmanevam. That fearlessness is coming to a person. Fearlessness means abhayam, isn't it? Abhayam. Abhayam means fearlessness. Bhayam means fear. So fearlessness, when it becomes higher, that becomes abhayataram. It's called abhayataram. And when it comes still better, it becomes abhayatamam. Abhayatamam, superior. Fearlessness. There are two kinds of people in this world. One group of people who are fearless, who are very, very fearless. And there is another group who are always in fear, like all of us. We are always in fear, isn't it? But there are people who are fearless in this world. That is why these two categories mentioned there. And they are abhayadamam. Abhayadamam means they are totally free from any fear. And how come they got to that position? Because martyasya artasya manye vyavasaradi bhayam yena sarvatmaneiva. What they did was, they understood where the fear is coming from. The fear is coming from as soon as the desires builds up inside. Isn't it? When we builds up a desire, when does the desire builds up? Vedantis are saying that the Vedantis' opinion is that actually everything in this creation is actually do not exist, according to them. According to Vedantis, they say it doesn't exist. But if somebody tells us all these things don't exist, how we will accept that? It's also a difficult thing. But the reality is that their point of view, because it's all going to finish one day, they think they don't exist reality. In reality, they don't exist. But we have got a problem. Our problem is that we accept everything exists in this world. Everything what we see, everything what we feel, and everything we come into contact with, we start thinking that it all exists. But when, that is why, just like in the earlier stages, when we talked about our identity, when somebody tells us we are not this body, it's not coming, it's not clicking to our head. Similarly, somebody tells us that this creation doesn't exist, that also doesn't click into our head. We say, how can it be? The whole thing is existing. How can you say to me that doesn't exist? So this is where the difficulty is. So the first mistake is, something that doesn't have permanent existence, we have accepted that it exists permanently. Isn't it? We accept everything exists in this world. Okay, temporarily we know, sometimes when we think, oh, it may finish up in another 50 years or 100 years, but as far as I am concerned, as far as my body is concerned, it exists. My mind is concerned, it exists. The funniest thing is, when you go to a funeral, maybe the next door, neighbor, somebody died, and you had to go for a funeral with the whole family members. You went for the funeral, and even after the funeral was gone, while coming back, what do we think still? Oh, this, something has happened to him. It may not happen to me. It won't happen to me. It will only happen to him. He must have made some mistake. I don't know what he has done. That's why this happened to him. Is it not? This is all, our head is like that. This is how the situation is. That no matter how much it is spoken, we will see it every day through our own eyes, that people are leaving this world, but still it won't come to us. Still, we have got our master plan here, which has to be completed. So, this first thing is this, that to see that everything exists permanently. What is the second thing? After seeing that everything exists, we get attached to some of those things. Start thinking they are nice things. The moment we think they are nice things, it is followed by another thought which comes, I would like to have it. Isn't it? So, it is in these three steps it happens. That's why jnanis, when they develop their spiritual understanding, first thing is, they will make it very clear to themselves that these things don't exist. Because you have to break at some point. Otherwise, what will happen is, we'll keep thinking, they are all existing, I am also existing. I'll practice Krishna consciousness, at the same time I will also have all these things. Together let me go in this life, and let me be happy here, and after death also, it won't work like that. That's what Krishna is saying here. First thing is to accept, all these things are temporary. They are temporary. They have no real existence. Because, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubayorami drishtandastaneyor tatu darshivi. Persons who are intelligent and who had seen the truth, they have concluded that what really exists is exists forever. It is spirit. What does not exist will never exist in the future. That is matter. So this discrimination between spirit and the matter has to be so deep in us before we can move further from there. And this is called nitya anitya vastu nitya anitya vastu vivegam. That discrimination between nityam, permanent, anityam, temporary, what is temporary and what is permanent. When that discrimination is very firm, such a person is qualified to go further in the spiritual understanding. So, having come to that point, here it says here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that first the mistake is that we accept things which are temporary as permanent. Second mistake is that some of the things what we have come into contact with are nice things. And third thing, it will be followed by a desire to possess it. So long as these three things are there, there is no question of getting fearless. This is the first thing. You see how difficult it is now. That unless the connection with the matter is completely broken and all these desires are totally thrown away, as long as these desires are coming and disturbing us, the fear has to be there. The material existence, the fear of material existence will always be there. So that is how the first instruction from Kavi Maharshi comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya. Now, this bhayam, this fear, how will it go? The fear won't go very easily. You can see personalities like Sri Narada Maharshi, why they don't have any fear. They had no fear at any time. Never once Sri Narada Maharshi got frightened about anything. Why? Because there was no desire to have anything. The only desire Narada Maharshi had was only Krishna. Krishna was the only object of desire. All these great personalities, great devotees, because they desired only Krishna, therefore they had no fear. Whether it is Goswamis of Vrindavanam or any other great devotees in every tradition, when they came to this platform only desiring Krishna, their fear had left them once for all. The fear had left them once for all. So long as these desires are inside, Kavi Maharshi says, fear also will have to be there. That's the way Maya works. This is Maya's business. This is Maya which does that. Maya makes, puts us into this situation. One this, one that, everything. And then starts working for that direction. Succeeds, fails, one way or the other. Fear never goes away. And therefore, you can see, Sri Narada Maharshi's life is the finest example for this. If you remember, in Sri Narada Maharshi, when he, at the age of 5, when he left home, mother died and went looking for Krishna. At that time, there is some statement from Sri Narada Maharshi. What did he say? He says, the only thing, I had no fear. He had no fear of even death at that time. Imagine that situation. No fear of death either. Why? Because there was no desire except Krishna. That was the only thing what he desired. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this, that when Sri Narada Maharshi talks about this, he says here that the that Narada Maharshi's plans, that when in the night, when Sri Narada Maharshi went to sleep, he was desiring, when will death will come? Will you come to me tonight? That's how he went to sleep. And there, in the first canto, you can see, in one word, Sri Narada Maharshi summarized this. Kalam pradiksho vimato vimalsaraha. Kalam pradiksho vimato vimalsaraha. Then Sri Narada Maharshi says, I was waiting for the death to come. I was waiting for the death to come. Have you seen any personality speaking like this, like Sri Narada Maharshi has spoken? Now you know why he was given the second position among the 12 Mahajans. Why he was given that position? Because he has reached that stage. He has reached that stage. He is fearless. Why? Because there was no desire. All desires have gone away because of the association with those great sages who implanted Krishna Bhakti, that into Krishna consciousness, into Sri Narada Maharshi's heart. And that sunk in very well, that Narada Maharshi understood, I don't have anything else, I don't need anything else except Krishna. And that is why he could say like this, Kalam pradiksho vimato vimalsaraha. He was able to wait for death to come, and that's all what he wanted at that point, nothing else. And this was Narada Muni's consciousness. Now you can see why we have all the problems, Narada Muni has no problem. Narada Muni doesn't have any problem, whereas we have got all our problems in this world. In our material problems, our spiritual problems, and our social problems, whatever problems, any problem in this world, if you list it, we have got all of that. And Sri Narada Maharshi says, I had no problem. You see, Kalam pradiksha vimado vimal saraham. He was able to wait like that. So, from all these examples, Krishna is saying to us, and also these 9 sages, is instructing us that to reach that platform, you have to come through this consciousness of freedom from fear. Freedom from fear means freedom from desires. That is what qualifies us for that. We'll discuss this next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.